We bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Yeah, we say it often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So I appreciate your desire to assemble together as a congregation to give God some praise. Lesson, at least the introduction to our lesson, comes from the text that was read to us this morning. We need to go thank God and thank Him again. And again, you can say that as many times as you would like. Just that we over and over and over again. Notice some people in the text that was read to us. You know, first of all, in verse 12, there were 10 men who were lepers. 10 that were lepers. They all of these 10, they had a horrible disease, leprosy. In biblical times, that leprosy made them unclean. Because they were lepers and unclean, they were isolated from society. So because of that, it fills them with despair. There wasn't any remedy. So because of that, they cry out for mercy. Well, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And that what they asked for is what they received. As they went, in verse 14, they were cleansed. Though they pleaded for mercy and they received mercy, the leprosy was gone. Then you also have in the text the one. The Bible says that he returned giving thanks. So only one expressed gratitude out of the 10. The voice of pleading from this man when he was one of the 10 now becomes an isolated voice of praise. The only one. It said, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Gave thanks. All the 9. And that's what Jesus asked. Where are the 9? Weren't there 10 cleansed? These are the ones that did not return to say thank you. I kind of noted they were nearer to Jesus in their affliction than they were in their health. They prayed when they were in distress. They were silent when they should have given their thanks to God. Remember a story of a man on a ship. They were in the midst of a terrible storm. It seemed like the wind and the waves were having the upper hand, the victory in the storm. So what? The one man falls to his knees and he says, Lord, I haven't been a praying man. Haven't talked to you in 30 years. However, if you will hear me this once, get me to shore. I promise not to bother you for another 30 years. Sometimes that's the way we are. We haven't thanked God in a long, long time. But when distress comes, oh, we readily look up or we bow our head, close our eyes, fold our hands, and we cry out for mercy. When mercy's been given, then we unfold our hands and open, go our way until distress comes again. Gratitude. I put in your note, the Apostle Paul described ungratitude in a very unfavorable light. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is where he introduces this catalog of horrible things. Here's the introduction. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Ooh, perilous times. Don't want that. He describes what perilous times look like. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, and then the word unthankful. And then the list goes on. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. From such people, turn away. Whoa. Right in the middle of this list. And we look at some of these things. I wouldn't hang around with people like that. And in the middle is unthankful. That's our lesson today. We want to develop an attitude of gratitude. And we know that. Whether we as parents always say or try to teach our children, anytime they receive something, if that child is not quick to say thank you, we're in there rather quickly saying, what do you say? Because we know. And we want them to know. Oh, develop an attitude of gratitude. Wow. Sometimes we wonder if too much time has passed and because we didn't say thank you for something. And, of course, the answer always is it's never too late. Even if somebody says, well, what if it's a couple years? Go ahead and say thank you, because that'll just let that person know that you still remember something that they gave to you or did to you years ago, and it's still on your mind. You might want to say thank you for what you did. Remember, it's not thanks thinking. It's not thanks wishing. It's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Many admonitions in the Bible to give thanks, and that's what I've listed for you in your notes today. So I'll just look at a list, and you can add to this list by all means. But number one, Psalm 92, verse 1. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. And I think just that opening phrase of the verse, I always want to ask a question, what is it going to take to convince you to give thanks to God? What does it take for you to just look up, say thank you, or bow down, close your eyes, fold your hands, say thank you? What is it going to take to convince you? It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Meaning it's honorable, it's a virtue to give, it's good. It's proper, it's becoming, it's an expression of doing well. It's a good thing to give thanks. And then the added phrase is to sing praises to His name, to declare your loving kindness. Not just a good thing to give thanks, it's a good thing to even say it to others. Let me tell you what God has done for me. It's a good thing to do that. In the morning, and your faithfulness every night. Thank you, God. Thank you. It's a good thing to do that. Number two, Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. That's us. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. If you've been in this area for any length of time, perhaps you've traveled north on 805, just north of National City, somewhere around Market Street. I occasionally see a tractor trailer parked on the overpass. And on the trailer part of this tractor trailer, I see these words there, and big words that says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And then in print down below, and not a cuss word. I like that. That's the song. Sing praise to the Lord. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. In Psalm 119, or Psalm 111, verse 9, it reminds us He has sent redemption to His people. Reverend is His name. In other words, it's to be set apart. It's to be distinguished. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, in Matthew 6, verse 9, He says, after this manner pray ye, and He begins with the phrase, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. There's something about that name, as the song says. So when we think about what should we be thankful for, and give thanks at the remembrance of His name, just think about God, who you are. Your majesty. What you've done. What you're able to do. Sing praises and say thank you for his holy name. Number three, in Psalm 119, verse 62, it says, at midnight I'll rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Interesting phrasing, at midnight. Suggests the deepest darkness. At midnight. He's not talking about the time on the clock. When the psalmist is writing, he didn't have a wristwatch. Didn't have an alarm clock. He's saying when we're at the depths of despair, when we're down and out, when things are looking gloomy, when we don't understand the reason for our adversity, when we're going through troublesome times, or when we're weary, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because your judgments are righteous. Now, many of us are at a midnight point in our life. It might be a sorrow. Maybe death of a loved one, family, or friend. Some of us are discouraged. We have a prayerfully remember list in our bulletin. We have brethren, sisters who are physically ill. Impending surgeries. We have some in hospitals. We have brethren who are lonely. And the challenge in all of these situations in the midnight of our life is to see that God is still righteous. Even when we don't understand. One of my, I don't sometimes say favorite stories, but it's a precious memory. My father-in-law, he passed away 10 years ago. But he and my mother-in-law, Wilma, she had Alzheimer's. And Daryl, my father-in-law, retold this story before he passed away. But he said one time he had to get up, I'll say midnight, it was the middle of the night, he said, to use the restroom. When he came back out of the restroom, Wilma had the light on in the bedroom and she was making the bed. I said, well, Daryl, what did you do? He said, well, I just had to smile and help her finish making the bed and went into the living room and sat on the sofa and pulled a little lap rug over us. And I just had to thank God for all the good years. They were married 63 years. It's humorous and it's precious and it's just one of my favorite stories. At midnight, I'll arise and give thanks. We're not always thankful for the midnight. But we're thankful that God is there to get us through the night. So we look for that proverbial silver lining. And sometimes we even say, and there's even a song, every cloud has a silver lining. Number four in your notes is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. You sometimes refer to this as the resurrection chapter of the Bible. But Paul at the close of the chapter says, thanks be to God. Thank you, God. Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the final victory that's ours and the hope of eternal life that lies within us, we say thank you. Thank you. Because previous to this verse, Paul has told us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's given us evidences over and over again in that whole chapter. We're already in verse 57. But Paul spends 15 verses on the value, the importance, the significance of Jesus' resurrection. And he goes over and over again saying, if Jesus was not resurrected, we're yet in our sins. If Jesus was not resurrected, our preaching is in vain. Our testimony is false. So he gives all these evidences for the proof of the resurrection of Jesus. And then his conclusion, God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 58, the next verse, therefore, because of all of this that he said, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I like the last phrase, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I need to hear that. My labor, your labor, is not in vain in the Lord. Don't ever underestimate your ministry, your service, kindness, benevolence, or in our lesson today, expressing thanks to God and to one another. Never diminish that. Never think of yourself or what I'm saying or doing is of no value. Know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Number 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. Everything? But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Give thanks for all things? Just made a note in your outline. I have a book, and you've heard this, and I used this illustration before, but The Hiding Place book. It's about, written by Corrie ten Boom. It's about the ladies in the concentration camps of Germany in World War II. And just on the one page, pages 180 and 181, Corrie and Betsy are in this concentration camp in the barracks with all of these ladies. And Corrie says, you know, God has given us the answer. Says, before we ask, he always does. He says, Corrie, in the Bible this morning, we read about that. Where was it? Read that part again. So Corrie says, I glanced down the long, dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight. Then drew the Bible from its pouch. She had a copy of the New Testament. He says, it was in 1 Corinthians where we read this morning, or 1 Thessalonians, I mean. We are on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving this other concentration camp. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is, she said. So she starts reading the verse. Comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil. But always seek to do good to one another and to all. And she paused. And Betsy said, go on, go on. That wasn't all of it. She said, oh yes. Do good to all and to one another. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of... Corrie interrupted her. Said, that's it. That's God's answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. She said, that's what we can do. And we can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. You're in a German concentration camp. Let's thank God for our situation. Said, I stared at her. Then around at the dark and the foul aired room. Such as... Well, let's thank God for being assigned here together. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're here together. I bit my lip and said, oh, yes, God. Then she went on, and such as what you're holding in your hands. I looked down at the Bible. Says, thank you, God. Thank you for these pages. She says, yes, yes, said Betsy. And thank you for the very crowding here. Since we're packed so close, the many more will hear. She looked at me expectantly. Corey? And she said, oh, all right. Thank you for the jam, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds in that barracks of the concentration camp. And then she said, and then Betsy went on, said, thank you for the fleas and for, and then she said, Corey interrupted her, the fleas, that's too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. I said, oh, but the verse said, give thanks in all circumstances. It does not say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so the last thing said, so as we stood between the piers of bunks, gave thanks for the fleas. Then Corey added, but this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. But then they added, but you know, with the fleas, she said, the soldiers do not come around for inspections as often. They don't want to be around the fleas. So thank God for the fleas. Wow. In everything you think, you're probably thinking the same thing. The situations in my life, I'm thinking, I can't say thank you, but now, there's an occasion. There's something to say thank you about. It will look. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. The last one I have, number 6, is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We're familiar with the verse in John 3, verse 16. God so loved. There's something about God that sets Him apart from everybody else. God has done something for you and me that no one else could do. So there's an indescribable gift. The Bible puts it in some words. And we put it in words because we want to say, this is what God has done for me. So one reminds the brethren he's writing to, thank God. We kind of search for words to describe an indescribable gift. But John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave a Son. And whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. Wow. What can I say? Thank you. Thank you. We even sing a song in our book, He Paid a Debt. That's the title of the song. That He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And then the song goes on, amazing grace. That's right. What God has done for us. An indescribable gift. So the last one I have is said thanks. You need to say thanks by trusting and obeying. I want to say thanks for the invitation that Jesus, the Godhead, offers us to. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I don't know anybody that's not. In some form or fashion, all of us labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. No one else can make that promise or extend that invitation. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The only time that yoke gets heavy, and that burden gets heavy, is when you drag it. Take my yoke. Carry the cross. Carry. And say thank you. Thank you. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. We say thank you for that invitation. We couldn't provide it for ourselves. There's nothing we could present to God that He would accept as a gift offering or a sin offering for us. We say thank you for that gift. We need to respond. So God has said through Jesus the apostles, go everywhere, preach this good news message on what I've done for you. Tell a world of people, and then those that believe it must repent of their sins. You know, turn around, hate the way that they're living. Come to Him, His way. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Be baptized for remission of sins. That's the invitation. And that's the invitation we extend every time we assemble together. So let's stand as we sing the song that's been selected for us. If that's your desire, if you've not done so already, just simply come and have a seat beside me while we sing this song, and just let that desire be known.